It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. We're going to begin reading with the 15th verse today. And so please open your Bibles again to Exodus 32:15. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, find your place, and prepare for the study today. Exodus chapter 32, we're going to begin reading with verse 15. Exodus 32:15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tablets of testimony were in his hand. And the tablets were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the kef and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the kef which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel to drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said to them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this kef. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and go out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Let's begin with prayer now after the reading of God's precious word. Father, we thank you today that we can come together and study your word. Please that you will show us your way and will. Strengthen us today, dear Lord, please. Please strengthen us, dear Lord. Show us your way. Show us your perfect will. And then help us, give us the strength and help us to follow that will. And please that you will guide and lead us in the way of righteousness. And I ask that you will send forth your convicting power to the lost, to those that live in sin and do not recognize that they're lost, do not recognize that they even need a Savior. Well, today through this study, show them that they're lost. Show them their condition and show them that they must come by faith and trust in you today. Please, today now, this come to pass and salvation come into the hearts of many. I ask that it come into the hearts of all that are listening. And then too, dear Lord, please, that those that are saved, born again, Now you'll know if you've had, if you've got this personal relationship with Jesus, you'll know it. Father, show them, please show them. Now please guide and lead us and grow us and teach us your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful study we'll have today as always. Please that you enjoy it. I hope that you have your Bibles open if you're able to. I know many are on their way to church or doing something else. Some even are have to work today, and in so doing, they're able to tune in the radio and listen. And so I hope that that's the case today. So if you're not able to open your Bibles, I always read the Scripture so we know exactly what we're studying and what's there. So please, again, enjoy it today. Now we have already been through the section where God has told Moses what's going on. So kind of keep that in mind. Joshua didn't know. Moses knew. Moses knew what was going on because God had so told him what was happening. So as Moses now proceeds down from the mount and he comes to meet Joshua, Joshua was not allowed to go into the presence of God. He was at a distance down the mount, awaiting the arrival of Moses. Moses was in the mount. He was there for 40 days, and he was having this wonderful fellowship and communion with the Lord. And as that was taking place, also down on this old sin-cursed earth, something else was taking place. And if you remember, they ask Aaron, they come to Aaron and says, you know, we don't know where Moses is, we don't know when he's coming back, he may not even be alive anymore, so will you make us a God that'll lead us on to the promised land? And so he asked for all the earrings of everybody, and they threw him into this pot and melted him down, and he made a golden calf for them to bow down to. This God will take us on. And they even said, this God brought us out of Egypt. Isn't it so sad, so quickly, that they have forsaken the Lord? But with that in mind, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit more, but right now I want to get to the 15th and 16th verse, where we find Moses coming down off the mount, and in doing so he has these two tablets in his hand. And I want you to see something that maybe you've never thought about before. These two tablets are the most valuable, most precious stones in all the world. It's just common stone, but God has written his words upon it. They are the most powerful, most precious, most valuable stones. There is not a ring with, I don't care how many carats the diamond would possess, I don't care if it's the greatest diamond that's ever been found, it never, never will match the value of these stones that Moses had his hand in, one in one hand, one in the other, as he brought these stones down. Never to this day, or never through eternity, where there'll be any stones that'll be so precious as these, the words of God recorded by God himself. You know, our precious word is so precious and so rich and such a value. But our word was given from God to man, and man has written it. But these stones, God wrote it. Oh, my friend, precious, precious stones. Again, the 17th verse, we'll just read verse 15 and 16 real quick and then move on to 17. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tablets. Oh, again, valuable, precious, so precious. And now on to verse 17, we find that Moses comes down the mount and meets Joshua. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, I don't know the time schedule here, probably just about the time that Moses was arriving, coming down to Joshua, Joshua begins to hear. When Moses is coming down, Joshua begins to hear something. And he has great question of what it is. And again, he didn't know what it was. And it doesn't appear that Moses tells him what it is, because it seems that they proceed on down the mount till they see it. And Moses could have said, yes, God has told me. But you know, there's many a time that God will show you something, but it's for you right that time. Now, Moses could have said, no, Joshua, you don't know what you're talking about. There's no, it's not a war down there. It's not a party. These stiff-necked people have turned back to the devil, and they've built a golden calf that they're worshiping right now. But Moses appears to have kept quiet and it kind of let Joshua make some guesstimations here of what was going on. And the first, he said, and Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. It was a strange noise. He said, it's a sound of war. Well, as we said last time we were together, when you have stood so boldly against God, that's just what it is. I don't care if it's singing and yelling and laughing and everything else. It's war. When the devil gets such a victory upon his people, it's war. And that's what Joshua heard or thought he heard first. And then he goes on here in the 18th verse, and he said, it is not the noise of them that shout for mastery. And the word mastery there would be a victory, a force, a might, as the warriors go out and get the victory. It's not a sound like that. And neither is it a sound of voice of them that cry for their, they've been overcome. So it doesn't sound like they're winning, but it doesn't sound like they're losing either. You know, it kind of sounds like singing. Joshua couldn't figure it out. Again, Moses knows what's going on. Moses knows. And so he continues. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. Moses knew. But until he saw, until he witnessed the level of sin that these people were committing, that they had turned from the God that had delivered them out of Egypt, had given them the promise of the land, and had given them Moses to do that leading, that God they have forsaken, and they have turned it into the filth and the god of the land. Now, Moses knew about this golden calf. He was aware of what the people were doing. God told him. But I don't think he was ready for what he saw. I don't think he was ready for that. God told him, and God was truthful. God fulfilled it, but when he saw it, it was so appalling. It upset Moses so much. He cast the stones. These two stones that are the most valuable stones in all the world. And he cast them to the ground, and they broke to pieces. Did Moses do that in a fit of anger? I don't think so. It says that he was waxed hot. Anger, Moses' anger waxed hot. Did he throw him down in a fit of anger? That's possible. And he had every right to, for what he witnessed, what he just saw. But you know, Moses had just been communing with the Lord, been there for 40 days. Watched God pen out these wonderful words. to come down, and the God that had made such promises unto the people of Israel, this God, he finds that man, the Israelites, many of the Israelites, and we're told how many died here, 3,000, so we can kind of feel like that maybe there was about 3,000 that was involved in it. It says 3,000 men. Sometimes through the scripture, when it says men, that would include then also women and children, so that number could be turned up to several times of that, of 8,000 or 9,000 even. 10,000 could have been slaughtered that day. But we know it was 3,000 because it says clearly 3,000 men died. Well, now, as Moses comes down and he sees the love that these people have for the world. He sees a love that they have for a God they've made, that they have put such faith in, that they says this God's going to deliver us into the promised land. This God has delivered us out of Egypt. Oh, my friend, how could they say such a thing? But you see, the world comes so quickly back to us. And Moses wasn't ready to come from such wonderful communion with the Lord to such a level of wickedness in just a few short steps down that mount. Did he throw those stones down in a fit of anger? Again, I don't believe so. I think he acknowledged their sin, and he says, here is judgment, here is justice, and he throws them to the ground. Because he said, you have broken God's covenant. God has made a promise with you, and the only way it could be broken is your sin, and you've done it. And so here is justice. Here's judgment. And he casts them to the ground. Maybe he did it in a fit of anger. And again, if he did, he was just human. But it doesn't appear that God ever holds him responsible for that. He sends him back up to get another set later on. In God we have his perfection, his purity. In the world we have nothing but wickedness. Moses showed so clearly the judging hand of God when he cast these down. And we know that just before this, God wanted to destroy him. He said, I'll destroy these stiff-necked people. But Moses stood for the people. He stood for the people. And it is a wonderful testimony. As we read back just a little bit here, let's just go back to verse 7. The Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of Egypt, land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Remember, God says, I'm going to just destroy these people. I'm going to destroy them, and Moses, I will make you a great nation. It'll start with the promise, just like it did with Abraham, and I'll make you a great nation out of you, not out of this people. And Moses besought the Lord, verse 11, his God, and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did I bring thee out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent for this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own hand, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed of the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. It's so sad as we see the fierceness of God upon this people. That shows you the wickedness, because God just wanted to destroy them. But Moses stood in the midst of them. And then when Moses comes down after knowing this, and then Moses comes down, meets Joshua, and him and Joshua return onto the camp, and then they witness it firsthand. And again, I don't believe he was ready for what he was about to see, coming from such a sweet communion with the Lord to this great wickedness, to acknowledge that this calf is in some power, in some way, is responsible for bringing them out of Egypt. And yet they had witnessed such a time, and such an exciting time they had witnessed. And yet, here we find this statement. And so, we find now Moses, he comes about, and he takes this, not only breaks the tablets, but next, he took the calf, and this was, I think, almost immediately. He took the calf that they had made, he burned it in the fire, and ground it to a powder, and strewed it upon the waters, and made the children of Israel drink it. Judgment. He filed this down, he ground this thing down to a powder, and he spread it, he scattered it across the waters, and he made the people drink it. He wanted to show them how powerful his God is and how weak their God was. How can a God that one man can come and crush and make them bow down and drink it, how strong can that God be? Is that God strong enough to give you victory and to hand you anything, let alone this promised land that the God, the Creator, has given them? We need to see, we need to testify, and we need to show folks in this land and in this world that our God is the only true God. Now that's not politically correct, because we're to be so quiet and so peaceable about these kinds of things that anyone's God that they're worshiping is acceptable. Now you choose. I'm going to share with you that this is the true God and this is the only God. Now if you want to share with me that your God you believe is true, that's up to you, and we're not going to argue. We're not going to fight. But I'm not going to back away. And I'm not going to sit beside you and worship your God and my God at the same time. Now, if you don't want to worship my God, that's fine. But don't you expect me to worship yours, because I refuse to. These people bowed down and drank this water. Now, when I say bowed down, you say, Larry, where does it say they bowed down? Well, they were forced to drink the water. They drank it. God showed them through this man Moses that your God is nothing. And my dear friend, every God, whether it's an individual that somebody has lifted up as God, or whether it's a God that is made as this golden calf, some statue or something like that, whatever it is that you have made as a God that's a part of this world is of nothing, of no importance, of no strength. It has no power. The God I know, the God I worship, and it's not because I know Him and because I worship Him that He is great. He is great because He's God. And it doesn't matter what I believe. It matters that you know that He is God, and He is the true God, and He will show you His power and His strength. He will show you His saving power. He is the only God that can take away your sins and can set you free. He is the only God that has the power to set you forth into eternity in heaven. Any other God has an eternity, but that eternity is hell. It's the lake of fire. You see, the world doesn't, the day doesn't end the day you die. You just don't rot away, and that's the size of it. There is an eternity for every person that's ever been born. There's an eternity. It's either going to be in heaven or hell. Now let's see. Because Moses said unto Aaron here in verse 21, "What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" Now look at Aaron's reasoning here. "Let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, and they are set on mischief." Now did they, were they going to take Aaron out and kill him if he didn't do this calf? I don't know. But we do know, and we're running out of time as we do so often, we have the testimony in Deuteronomy a little fuller. You know, that's one thing that we love about the Word of God. God's Word, it confirms itself. And so the next time we come together, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 9 and read the 13th through the 21st verse. Now, if you want to do that before, you're sure welcome to, and be prepared for next time study. Aaron talked to Moses about this situation, and he gives a further explanation here. And also, we see how Aaron is saved. Because you would think, since he made the calf, God would hold him responsible. But we find here that he does not. And verse 22, "And Aaron said, Let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt," we don't know what's happened to him. Verse 24, "And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man to his sword by his side, and go in and go out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Israel did just that. And there was 3,000 men died that day. Now we're going to see what happened to Moses and to the people when we read this Deuteronomy chapter 9 next time we come together. It's so important that you see the judgment of God. It's so important that you see the love of God. The love of God is through His Son, the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross for you. Please trust in Him today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?